Groping through darkness at 5:15 a.m., I thought how different my life had been in London. Watching a West End show, then having dinner, then working through some emails, then catching up on some reading, my usual bedtime was 3 in the morning. I was Count Dracula, the Prince of Darkness, the King Night Owl. I owned the night. But now, I was dragging myself up before the crack of dawn, before even that civilized hour when hotels will at least make you a coffee. Bleary-eyed and semi-conscious, I joined my companions on the lawn outside our lodgings in Mongu, Western Zambia. We were off to the harbour to take a boat trip on the nearby floodplains and Zambezi River. "We'd better take our passports out of our pockets in case we fall in," said one colleague. I woke up a little. "What do you mean, fall in?" "These boats are very difficult to get into without losing your balance." I frowned. I had already heard stories about how these waters were teeming with crocodiles and marauding hippos. The previous evening, I had sought reassurance from an official by asking, "These boats don't capsize, do they?" He replied with a chuckle, "Occasionally, and often the coxswains can't swim. I had to dive in and save one." It had also emerged that some paddling might be required. "Sounds easy," I said. "Not as easy as you'd think," came the riposte. The prospect of paddling my canoe in circles in crocodile-infested waters loomed large as I dozed in the minibus that drew us near the harbour. But then, things looked up. We were met by a waiting speedboat with reassuringly comfy seats, life jackets, made in Shoreditch, London, and switches like blower and bilge pump. We piled in and sped off towards the Zambezi at about 40 miles per hour, tilting and spraying as we arced around the bends. We sliced through water that seemed as smooth as glass, reflecting the sculptural cloud formations of the sky. Flanking us on either side were green banks of reeds and long grass, where mosquitoes and flies danced in the air. Kingfishers kept pace with us for a while before swooping off in all directions. No tourist ventured here. Our isolation was complete. Every now and then, we would come across a boatman standing in a narrow canoe, navigating his way with a long oar like a Venetian gondolier. One was selling freshly caught fish, and a member of our group bartered and bought some. Our coxswain powered down our engine to a low moan so we wouldn't make waves and send the boatmen flying. At one point, as we drifted lazily in the afternoon sunshine, a million miles from land, concrete, or traffic, the sound of Dean Martin drifted from the boat's radio, singing incongruously, or perhaps not, "Welcome to my world. Won't you come on in? Miracles, I guess, still happen now and then." Occasionally, a bigger boat chugged past with cargo strapped in. Beds, sofas, fridges, electronics, guided by an oarsman in an English Premier League football shirt. One transport was packed full of people who looked braced for a long, arduous journey, possibly a 3-day passage to Angola. We found a young couple living in a flood monitoring station, a wooden house built on stilts and surrounded by waters on all sides, as remote as a lighthouse. If the waters came too close, they had an even higher, even smaller house to seek refuge in. They had been deprived of their main entertainment. "We used to see half a dozen hippos near here," said the man, "but not any more." Families living on higher ground, cut off by the waters, were fascinated by those of us with white skin and by the sight of their own image on our digital cameras. They smiled and waved us off, the children running along the riverbank in an attempt to keep up. Yet they live in the most miserable conditions, with malaria rife and little access to food. The sun set with a streak on the horizon, as red as the spot of Jupiter. We hurtled back towards the harbour in the gathering dusk, the wind blowing our hair and blasting our faces. What felt like hailstones bouncing off my face and the bridge of my nose were in fact insects, which I later had to unpick from my eyebrows. Best to keep one's mouth shut. The one thing our boat lacked was headlamps, but it didn't matter as we powered on. Above us was a crescent moon, and the kind of profound array of stars, join the dots for Orion's belt, last beheld in the west by my long-dead ancestors. It was mirrored on the ground by the lights of open fires, around which families gathered in homes made of reed walls and thatched roofs. By now, I was as awake as I've ever been, and ready for anything, ready to wrestle a crocodile. It was almost disappointing to reach land, with its mobile phone stalls, Barclays Bank, and Willy's Internet Cafe. Back at Mongu Harbour, I felt I left behind one of the secrets of a shrinking world.